Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
My milkshake brings all the boys to the yard, and they're like, it's better than yours.
All right, we're going to start the 5 o'clock hour a little bit differently because I just got some news that has absolutely blown my mind. Congratulations on getting through your 9 to 5. I promise you we will get back to sports. Do you remember this song, Rob?
I do. It was hot when I was in like 7th, 8th grade.
Turn it up a little bit. The thing that makes me. All right. She has a new boyfriend. No, so she used to date the rapper Nas. Are you aware of Nas? You didn't know who Juvenile was. Are you aware of Nas?
I am, mostly because he and Jay-Z used to beef.
They did used to beef. That's, you know what? That's accurate. I come to you for hip-hop historian knowledge. You're basically Dr. Dre.
That's my lane on this show.
No, definitely. That's why I come to you. So she used to be married to Nas. They are not in a marriage anymore. They're divorced. She now has a new boyfriend. They were seen out and about. She is in a relationship now, Rob, with Bill Murray. Can you imagine? Can you think of a celebrity that has had a wider range of boyfriends than what I just... Nas, the person who made Illmatic. You were in a marriage to him. You have kids together. You're not together anymore for whatever reason. You are now out dating people. And now you are dating the dude from Ghostbusters. The dude who was in Caddyshack. I don't know if there is a wider range than what I've just seen from Khalees. She dates Bill Murray.
I mean.
You want to know how old she is? She's 43. You want to know how old Bill Murray is?
80?
72.
Oof. I mean, it's not Pacino and his wife dramatic, but.
30 years. Rob, how old are you?
I am 32 years old.
Could you imagine right now me telling you that your girlfriend ain't alive yet? Your girlfriend ain't alive, Rob. She has not been conceived. God's putting a little bit more time on her. She'll be out soon enough. That's what Bill Murray, man.
Where do Bill Murray and Khalees meet?
That's a great question.
What are they doing where they're like, oh, how you doing, Bill Murray? Oh, how's it going? I'm Khalees.
That's a great, yeah.
Like, I think we can rule, like, the club out because I don't think many 70-year-olds are rolling around.
Maybe Bill Murray is a little bit more hip than you're giving him credit.
He obviously
has heard the song Milkshake.
I mean, everyone's heard Milkshake. Does she have a second song?
Yeah, she does. I mean, I'm not going to, you don't know. But yeah,
that's fair.
We're not going to disrespect Khalees here, but they're very solid career.
Someone on the text line asks, is it the same as you wanting to date Martha Stewart?
Yeah.
Just in reverse.
That's fine. I still want to date Martha Stewart. You will never shame me about my love of Martha Stewart. Bill Murray was born September 21st, 1950. Was when he was born in Evanston, Illinois. Look, I've learned so much about Bill Murray in this short amount of time. I'm sorry that we had to start this 5 o'clock hour a little bit differently, but I had to tell you guys that the girl who sings Milkshake is in a relationship with Bill Murray, and they are 30 years apart from each other. You know what, man? Love knows no restrictions. Good for them. I'm happy for him. I'm happy for her. I'm happy for their families, and I hope things works out, man.
Text line thinks Bill Murray's an upgrade over Nas.
Good for him. That's good for him. Good for him.
I'm gonna spend the entire rest of the show.
Hold on, just really quickly. This guy says a Ghostbuster over some rapper. That's a huge upgrade. Let's not disrespect who Nas is. He maybe made the greatest rap album of all time. Let's not treat this like she's dating Lil Baby.
I'm not saying I'm the rap expert on the show, but come on now. That
you could definitely
Illmatic
make the argument
is not
that
the greatest
Illmatic
rap, album,
rap
of all
album
time.
Of all time.
No,
100% you could. 100%. 100% you could. It's not my favorite, but you definitely could. If someone said that, I would not fight you on that. I would not fight you. So we're not going to call him some rapper. She ain't dating Lil Pump or Tekashi 6ix9ine.
If she was dating Tekashi 6ix9ine, it's a different conversation.
We wouldn't even be talking sports in the 5 o'clock hour. We wouldn't even be talking sports. What's happened to sports? I don't even know what happened. You know what happened. Where do you want to start, man? You want to start with Frank Clark, or you want to start with with Salvador Perez? Where do you want to start?
Let's start Frank Clark, pivot to Salvador, and then Random Royals lineup.
All right, let's do that. All right, so which one did you say?
Frank Clark.
All right, cool. My bad. I forgot. Just that quick, man. I forgot. I'm getting old like Bill Murray.
Yeah,
I'm getting old like Bill Murray. All right, this is the thing on Frank Clark. This is the thing. From an actual Chiefs standpoint, I don't really think it's that interesting, honestly. You spent a lot of resources in the last 2 years on defensive line. You picked up Charles Omenihu. You drafted George Karlaftis in round one. You picked up Felix Onyedike Uzomah in round one. You have spent a lot of resources on the defensive line. Them not spending more resources on the defensive line makes sense to me. You trying to get younger and cheaper at the position makes sense to me. I don't have any issue with this from a football standpoint. I also don't have any issue with it from a business standpoint. If you're the Chiefs, you had an agreement with Frank Clark. You chose to void that agreement based on his lack of productivity. That is your right as an NFL team. That is the business. That is the way love goes, to quote Janet Jackson. Fast forward to the draft. You then drafted his replacement and brought in a younger, cheaper version of Frank Clark. Frank Clark got released on March 7th this year. It is June 8th. You had all the time in the world, if you were serious about bringing Frank Clark back, to bring Frank Clark back. And you have made the decision as an organization to move on. I don't fault you for that. That's operating like a business, like an NFL team. It's not personal. We love Frank Clark. We invited him to the White House. He was there with us. That's real. That's genuine. But we got to make decisions that are in the best interest of everybody and not just one person. Again, I don't fault the Chiefs for making that decision. I bring all that up because I don't think that you can make that decision as an organization and then feel any way with whatever team he signs with. I want to play for you guys, but you guys haven't either made me an offer. Your offer's not competitive. So Frank Clark, to me, is able to go play for whatever team he wants to go play for. He didn't force his way out of town with a trade. I could understand feeling a way about it. I think that Tyreek and the Chiefs were operating in good faith, and then I think Tyreek went back on that and asked for more money, and I think the Chiefs said no. We'll help accommodate you, and we're going to trade you. That's also business, too. But I don't think that you can let somebody hit free agency and then create conditions on what team they can sign with. I don't care what team Frank Clark signs with. He can sign with the Broncos, Chargers, Raiders, Bengals, Bills, whatever team. The Chiefs had the right of first refusal, and they chose not to sign a deal. If I tell Rob that I've got 2 concert tickets, and I tell Rob the price, and hey, I'm willing to make you a deal because you're my friend. And then Rob says, no, I'm good. And then I sell those other tickets at that price. I got the opportunity to sell them to whoever I want to sell them to. I've given Rob a chance to buy them. He's declined. The Chiefs had the opportunity. They can't get mad. So to me, that's the only interesting part, really, about Frank Clark. I appreciate Frank Clark. I appreciate what he did in Kansas City. I started to appreciate it more once he got paid a salary that was in line with what he produced for the Chiefs. But I understand how Kansas City just got tired of paying a part-time player a full-time salary and were ready to move on. I think it's business on both sides. I think it was business in Kansas City's eyes. I think it was business on Frank Clark's side. I ain't got no problem with that. But I will miss things like this.
Past two games, he's gained 70 yards, over 200 yards each game. I know damn well we weren't going to win the game. We let that happen. They come in here, he ran for 70 yards. They call him the best rusher in the league. We're sending this home early.
I posted the comments that you said to me. And all over social media, everybody's saying you better watch your back, that you're saying things that you can't cash. Everybody on social media saying, back.
They must not know who I am yet. They're going to find out sooner or later when I got that ring on my finger. At the end of the day, we champions. AFC, that trophy that got my own and last name on it, that KC. That KC. Ain't no fall off. Last year, jump off sides, all that. I told them when I got here, the going to change. Look at that. We're the best.
Go join.
Text line 913-586-7610. C-Dot, you can't sit up on the podium and cry about how close you and Andy are and that he helped you through your dad's death and then sign up to play him twice a year. But can't you make that same thing if you're the Chiefs? You can't do all of these things for Frank Clark and then void his contract. All I'm saying in this is we can't say that it's strictly business on the Chiefs side and applaud them for making what we believe to be the best business decision, and then ask the other side to make then an emotional decision. I don't hear anybody mad at the Chiefs for them voiding Frank Clark's contract. He was under contract with the team, and the Chiefs canceled that deal and asked him to take a pay cut, and he declined the pay cut. We're not even arguing that the Chiefs couldn't have matched this amount of money. This is a one-year, $5.5 million contract. I wouldn't be surprised if earlier this week when he was at the White House, they had a conversation and he told them, hey, I think we're working out a deal with Denver. You guys know that I want to be here. Do you guys want to do it? No, you're good. If it's going to be business on the team side, it's got to be business on the player's side. So when I see something say, well, fans have a right to say that's Bush League, what's Bush League about it? You're a free agent. Sign with whoever. For whatever reason, I don't care. Maybe you want to stick it to the Chiefs. I doubt that's what it is. Or maybe the Broncos simply offered you the most money. I just don't know how we can be cool with the Chiefs cutting off his money on one side and now try to limit how much money he can get on the other side. That just seems very unfair to the player. Maybe that's just part of being a sports fan. Like, we just sign up for a system that we think is unfair. But at least we can acknowledge it. We can at least acknowledge that this is wrong. To feel any kind of way about him signing a deal with another team is wrong. When he didn't do anything wrong. You were on a team. They cut you. You got another job. That's business. I would go work at 810. I ain't against that. Odyssey fires me. I get offered a deal from another. Cool. Sign me up. I'm not against that. Most of you aren't against it either. I just think that part's unfair.
I don't know who the hell they think they was calling this Burrow head. I don't know who the hell they thought they was talking about. They was going to finish us off. They don't take their bum ass back to Cincinnati. Man, they came to Chiefs game and got their ass stumped on. I don't know what number one did. I told him to holler at me. I don't know what the bank, I told them all holler at me. I told them last year they ain't get my best. I told them this year they barely got my best. I told them with the playoffs though, I'm the f***ing king. They gotta holler at me every f***ing game. Let's go.
Playing the 49ers, we're in the area. We just lost last week. So if we had any type of nuts, we go out there and get the job done again. That's what happened. We beat their ass in their stadium. They talked all that and you see what happened. You know, we still stepping on them. 2 years later, I think it is. Yeah. So you know how I'm in. Yeah.
I will miss Frank Clark's sound bites. I will miss that. I will miss that. I can't lie to you guys. The sound bites were great. Salute to him. Good for him. Good for Frank Clark. All right, Rob. You want to talk about Salvador Perez? We're going to do the hits. You tell me how you want to handle
let's
the
Let's just do Salvador card. Perez, and then when you're done with Salvador Perez, it'll be random Rose lineup time.
I mean, the Salvi thing, I would say, is almost as straightforward as the Frank Clark thing. Like, it's almost as straightforward. So, in The Athletic, they are reporting that the Royals they're interested in trading Salvador Perez. They have not said they're trading him. They're interested. But with Salvador Perez, because of his service time and how long he's been on the Royals, he has the ability to block any trade. So he has a no-trade clause. I would go to Salvador Perez and ask him very simply, do you want to continue to be on this team? That's it. Salvi, we understand where you are in your career. You are 33 years old. You don't have 10 more seasons left. Maybe you got 3 or 4 left. Are you still fully invested in this team? Are you still fully invested in where you are? Take a couple of days and get back to us and we can work together. Or if you want to stay here, cool. And you know we are doing everything in our power to try to turn things around here in Kansas City where you want to continue to be here. But at some point, a very honest conversation needs to happen between the Royals, Salvador Perez, and or the Royals and Salvador Perez's agent about what he wants to do and where he wants to continue to play. And I'm fine with either one. That's what you've earned based on your time. You have played 10 years in the league and 5 years with the team. You get a certain right to call your own shot. So if Salvador Perez wants to finish out his career with the Kansas City Royals, he should be given the opportunity to do that. Or if the Royals are going to release him like they just did with Hunter Dozier, pay me all that money you owe me. I want every single penny. We ain't reaching no buyout. You owe me every single penny. That's also business. Or if Salvador Perez goes to them and says, hey, I appreciate everything you guys have done for me, but I think my time has come here to a close. I think this is the best trade value that I'm possibly going to have. I still got some good baseball left in me. You guys know I love you. And I'm sure we'll come back and we'll have Salvador Perez day at the K, and Kane will be back and Hosmer will be there for that day. And it'll be a very special day at Kauffman Stadium or wherever their next stadium is going to be. So honestly, Rob, this is one of those things that it's hard to have an opinion on because I'm not inside Salvador Perez's mind. The only person that will determine if Salvi wants to be traded or not is him. And if Salvi is on the team to me after the trade deadline, it's because he wants to be on the team. Because if you're telling me, I ain't really got that mad at the Royals in a while. If we get a report from Passan or Jason Stark or Ken Rosenthal that Salvador Perez was okay with the trade and they were offered a fair trade package and they were holding out hope that they're going to be good next year, so they're keeping Salvador Perez, I will lose it on this radio show. Because they've done that before. They had 3 chances to trade Whit Merrifield and kept, well, next year we're going to be good. Well, next year, no, next year never came. And you sold Whit Merrifield for 60 cents on the dollar. Let's not keep making that mistake. So if Salvador Perez says, I want to be traded, and he is still on the team after the trade deadline, I promise you I will lose it. It will be a Fesco level of anger that I will have on this radio show. Because there's no reason for it. You have not been competitive at any point this season. And unless you guys plan on spending a significant more, a higher amount of money next year, there ain't no reason to think that you're going to be good next year either. So let's stop this fake charade of competitiveness and let's really assess where we are and let's do something about it. Sometimes it bothers me, Rob, that too many of them over there don't really seem that mad about what's going on. They don't really seem that mad about it. They seem cool with it. Hey, you know what, man? Hey, man, what can we do, man? We can't deal with 2 things at one time. We're trying to build this stadium right now. We'll get back to the baseball stuff, but right now our focus is on this stadium. How much time do you think in John Sherman's day does he spend on the stadium versus the current 2023 baseball team? Because for an owner who would be fully invested, who has cheered for the Royals since he was a kid and loves Kauffman Stadium and loves this team, I have not seen 1 evidence of that based on the team that they have built. They are embarrassing. They are the worst team in baseball. Oakland don't even count. That's a triple-A team masquerading as a team. This was a team, nobody said the Royals had to be good. You're not even proud of the Royals. You don't even care about the Royals or even want us to talk about them. All right, Rob, enough of that. We talked about the Royals way too much on today's show, way too much. You know what?
We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals.
Today's random Royals lineup, Carrington takes us to the year 1999.
We're
on this date in 1999, the Royals beat the St. Louis Cardinals in interleague play. Here is your random Royals lineup.
Real.
Leading off at second base, Carlos Fables.
Ooh, my guy, Carlos Fables.
batting second in center field.
Carlos Fables will be a power hitter on this year's team.
Mm-hmm. Batting second in center field, part of Dos Carlos, Carlos Beltran.
Team right there, man.
Batting third in left field, Johnny Damon.
I love Johnny Damon. He was at one of the Heat games not that long ago.
Batting fourth, the designated hitter, Mike Sweeney.
Mike Sweeney. I'm going to guess the pitching is the big reason why this team didn't break through. Because so far, this lineup, this is like a 27 game.
Batting fifth in right field, Jermaine Dye.
Whenever we say the 27 Yankees in like 2031, do you think people are going to think the 2027 Yankees or the 1927? Like, we're actually getting to that point.
That's true. We're getting close.
Yeah, we're getting coin. We're getting real close to that point.
If the 08 Black Sox hadn't been called the Black Sox, what would we have said?
That's fair. All right.
Batting sixth at first base, Jeremy Giambi.
Jeremy Giambi. I just watched Moneyball not that long ago, too.
For the first time or just?
No, I've seen it before. I've seen it before.
Batting seventh, the catcher, Chad Kruder.
Who?
Don't know, but he homered this day to deep left.
Off. Is he the program director at the other station?
Chad Kruder played a long time in the league from 88 to 03.
Yo.
Including a stint with the Royals in 1999. Mm-hmm. Batting eighth, our guy at third base, Joe Randa.
Hey, the Joker.
And batting nine.
Now when we say the Joker, do you think people know Joe Randa or you think they think of Nikola Jokic?
I think when we say it, they think Joe Randa. I think when anyone else in the world says it, they think Nikola Jokic.
So you're saying this is what you think. Hold on, turn the music down real quick. Turn the music down. You think if you and I went out to Kauffman Stadium and made a video and said, what athlete is the Joker? You still think Randa wins?
Yes, because I think all dozen Royals fans out of the K are old enough to remember Joe Randa.
Okay. We should try this as an exercise.
We really should. When's the next day game?
I don't know. We can do this, though.
We can do this.
I'd be happy to do this. I'd be very curious.
As long as you don't stock the pool and walk around and be like, hey, this 20-something, let's go grab him. I'm talking real people.
Wow, I didn't know the 20-year-olds were real people. I didn't know that.
They're basically aliens.
I didn't know that.
They're on TikTok. They're going to Matt Rife. They're basically aliens.
Okay, my bad.
By the way, batting ninth at shortstop, Ray Sanchez.
Yo, that 5-9 is nasty. That's a nasty bottom of the order.
The Royals beat the Cardinals today 11-10 on 15
the bats
hits.
Were alive.
Not the greatest pitching day of all time is Chris Fussell.
Who?
Went 4 2/3.
Who?
Scott Service came in for another 2 1/3 before Jose Santiago came in and Jeff Montgomery. To give you an idea of the 99 Royals, exactly one player that pitched on this day had an ERA under 6.
Who?
Now, if we went out there and we pulled Royals fans and said, hey, remember Chris Fussell? I imagine 0% of them will know who that is.
A lot of people are saying that if you said, what athlete is the Joker? A lot of people are going to say Novak Djokovic. No chance.
No chance at all.
I think we polled 100 people. I don't think one person gives you that answer.
I think with the large sample size, we start to get some Novak, but it.
You think
few
so?
And far between.
Let's say we ask 50 people at Kauffman Stadium, what athlete nickname is the Joker?
You maybe get one.
If okay. you go to, if yeah, you, all right, so you're not on the same page. Then.
If you get to,
very, you know,
if you go to 100, you maybe get one
go,
or two.
It would go Jokic, Djokovic, Randa, even at Kauffman. No chance.
By the way, someone on the text line says Kadarius Toney's nickname is the Joker. No, what?
Bro, he's not healthy enough to get a nickname first. Once Kadarius Toney plays in 8 games in the season, then we can consider giving him a nickname. Until that point, he's just Kadarius Toney on this show.
Can he get more than 500 yards in his Chiefs career before we start giving him nicknames?
Does he have 500 yards in his career yet? I don't know if he has it in his career. Yeah, you gotta be a little better to get a nickname. My bad. He has 591 in his career, my bad. I don't want to disrespect those 91 yards that he had, but no, he had He had 171 yards last year with the team. You can't get a nickname on 171 yards. No, you can't get one yet.
Also, maybe I'm just not the nickname guy. Did you know his nickname was the Joker? Why is Kadarius Toney the Joker? Isn't it usually a play off your name?
I think it's that picture he took where he's like the Patrick Mahomes, and he looks very devious in that picture. Maybe that's what it is. I just don't know if you can have a nickname if you ain't really balling, you know?
Also, if your nickname is based on a devious photo, your nickname is lame.
Okay. Well, they said he has a rap name. His rap name is Young Joker. Have you ever heard Kadarius Toney rap?
No. I didn't know he rapped, so I didn't know he had a nickname.
Okay.
What are the odds his rap is any good? Second question. What are the odds I can play any of it on this radio station?
Well, we could probably play some of it.
I mean, I don't think there's a lyrics version on YouTube I can check.
Let's see if we can hear it. Let's go Google it. I'm sure it's on YouTube. Let's hear Young Joker rap and let's hear if it's any good. Let's hear if Young Joker can spit.
Do you think he's better or worse than Cole Beasley?
Worse. I think Cole Beasley was okay.
Is he better or worse than Le'Veon Bell?
It's hard to be worse at rap than it'd be hard to be worse. Be very, very hard to be worse than he is. Let's hear Young Joker. I did not know that Kadarius Toney was a rapper. Had no clue this was a hobby of his.
100% a SoundCloud rapper. 100%.
Well, yeah.
He does have a SoundCloud.
I'm actually excited to this. Coming up on the other side, we will get back to very, very, very serious sports things. And we will hear if Young Joker, a.k.a. Kadarius Toney, could rap. Because this is my first time hearing him rap. So this is going to be an experience for us both. We'll do that together. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
You're listening to The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
If James Bradbury didn't want that meme, you know what? He shouldn't have held him.
Brought to you by the DePasquale Moore Law Firm. Remember, Mike's got this on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The only place in town to hear the hypothetical button game is on The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
I'm very disappointed in Rob. We asked Rob to get one thing for us.
Hold on.
And Rob is unable to come through with the one thing we asked him to do during the break. I don't ask Rob to do a whole lot. Keep us on schedule. Make sure the commercials gets done, and to cut Young Joker. And Rob was like, oh, we're not going to have it. Why are we not going to have Young Joker?
This may stun you about a SoundCloud rapper. No offense to Kadarius Toney. Not exactly FCC clean.
We couldn't find 20 seconds of room of Kadarius Toney.
Here's what I learned about his rap career. One, it is on, you know, SoundCloud and YouTube, so Google it.
Yo, good for Young Joker.
Two, I wouldn't play it around kids. That would be number two, or parents. That's number two.
Okay.
Number three, he loves to curse in these raps. That is like his go-to move.
Okay, my bad. I wanted to hear Young Joker flow, but you've really done us poorly here, and we're not going to be able to hear him rap.
I mean, I feel like that's Young Joker having... I don't think the radio is Young Joker's key demo. I'm just going to go out on that limb.
Who do you think his key demo is? Do you think he's going on tour? Like, who... I think he's just doing this as just like a hobby. This is like a way to blow off steam, you know? That's what I'm going to guess. I don't know, but...
He has music videos, too, by the way.
Oh, he has music videos.
I mean, loose. It's clearly someone filming him living his regular life.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, that's like a documentary then with music. It's like a musical. High School Musical. Starring Kadarius Toney.
Including one where he's rapping and he's walking through what appears to be a Foot Locker.
Oh, okay.
Could be a Lids. I don't know.
As all great music videos operate.
I mean, we all know that famous scene from the Beyonce Lemonade where she took a bat and bashed in Foot Locker.
Mm, okay. I'm actually really surprised that you know that about Beyonce.
I know, right? I mean, that's
very surprised.
She got hot sauce in her bag, buddy.
I guess you liked it and you put a ring on it. We can keep these Beyonce references going if you would like.
I'm going to run out pretty fast. No,
I think I'll make it for a while. I don't know. I don't know if your love's going to come out on top. Let's just go ahead and say that. I don't know if it's going to come out. On top of all of this, Frank Clark is gone. He is no longer playing for the Kansas City Chiefs. He is now playing for the Denver Broncos.
I don't know who the hell they think they was calling this Burrowhead. I don't know who the hell they thought they was talking about. They was going to finish us off. They don't take their bum ass back to Cincinnati. Man, they came to Chiefs camp and got their ass stumped on. I don't know what number one did. I told him to holler at me. I don't know what the bank. I told him all holler at me. I told him last year they ain't get my best. I told them this year they barely got my best. I told them with the playoffs, though, I'm the f***ing king. They got to holler at me every f***ing game. Let's go.
Let me ask you this, Rob, from a football perspective. We don't got to talk about him joining the Broncos part. Who do you think this decision helps the most? Because let's say that they had brought Frank Clark back. It was going to take away opportunities from somebody. Somebody was going to be on the field less because Frank Clark is on this team. Now that we have this news and we don't have to have this conversation again after today, hey, you want the Chiefs to bring back Frank Clark? Well, he ain't coming back. Who do you think this is good for? I actually think this is a representation that they believe in Mike Dana. That maybe you're going to be right and they're not going to bring in that veteran pass rusher. Maybe they're not going to be in the Frank Clark, Carlos Dunlap, Melvin Ingram market, at least before the season. Who knows what could happen during the season? They said no on Melvin Ingram before the season, but then traded for him during the season. Who knows what's going to happen as we actually see the games play. But I think this is a sign of a seal of approval for Mike Dana, where at his point in his career, he should be kind of ready to take that next step, you know? Like, Mike Dana should be a guy. If he goes out and balls out this season, Mike Dana could make a nice chunk of change for himself. He is now entering year 4 of his career. Mike Dana is 25 years old. Rob, you agree? Mike Dana goes out there this season and has another 5-6 sack season the way that he did last year, and he can say that I've had 17 sacks in my career over my first 4 years. You saw as I got more and more reps, you saw my productivity go up and up. I'm a really promising young pass rusher. Could he get the Charles Minnehue deal? If Mike Dana goes out there and balls out this season, could he get 2 years, $20 million from another team next season? I don't think that's outside the realm of possibility. I think Mike Dana is today's biggest winner.
You're talking about just for this season, correct?
Yeah, this season.
I think for this season and the long term, the answer is the same. I think it's George Karlaftis. We've talked about how George Karlaftis came on strong down the stretch and finished with, what, 8 sacks? But for the first 13 weeks of the season, he was missing in action. He was not the guy they drafted. Down the stretch, he was becoming that guy. He was becoming a player where you felt like Frank Clark had been demoted to situational pass rusher because George Karlaftis was that player. I think the Chiefs saw George Karlaftis at OTAs or minicamp or whatever practice they're having out at Arrowhead right now and thought to themselves, whoa, the last 5 weeks of the season, he's that guy and he's taking a step forward. We don't need another body. We can figure it out with, you know, Anudike Uzama. We can figure it out with Mike Dana. We can figure out a Minnehue on one side, but we have a known commodity on this side. We can rotate players, obviously, because that's how it works in football, but we know what we have. I think this is a sign that they believe that George Karlaftis has taken the next step and is going to ascend and looks more like the end of the year guy than the before of the year guy.
I disagree with this part because I think Karlaftis was going to start on this team anyway. Like the way that Karlaftis played the second half of the season, I think he was going to get those snaps anywhere, where I would guess that beside Chris Jones, he's going to have the second most snaps of any of their defensive linemen. So I was looking at it more as a, I think they have three. I don't want to say George Karlaftis is a proven commodity yet. He is not that. I think you have one proven commodity in Chris Jones. I would say you have two defensive linemen that you feel really good about coming into this year. I'm really high on Charles Amenihu coming into this season. I think you saw he was a guy that was ascending, and the Chiefs do a really good job of finding that 25-year-old player, locking him into a really good contract. I think we will be happy with the signing of Charles Amenihu. You got Karlaftis on the other side. I think you can allow Felix to kind of develop a little bit at his own pace. I don't think you're counting on him for production. And if you're telling me that your top four pass rushers are Jones, Amenihu, Karlaftis, and Dana until Felix kind of gets up to speed a little bit, I think you're okay. Could they pick up another defensive lineman between now and the beginning of the season? Sure. I wouldn't be surprised if they do it. But to me, them not bringing him back, because to me, let's say you had brought Frank Clark back. Well, we know he's playing more snaps than Dana. You've kind of told me what you think Dana is. But entering a contract year, like if you were one of the people that believe a contract year is undefeated, you think Mike Dana is about to put together his best season. Because if he does, there is a pot of gold at the end of it. You remember Colin Saunders was getting healthy DMPs in his second, third year in the league. You guys remember, Colin Saunders would just be inactive on Sundays. He was a full participant in practice and just would not be active on Sundays. And he turned his last year in Kansas City and played at such a level that he got a four-year contract somewhere else. Or a three-year. Three-year, $12.3 million deal and got half of it guaranteed. I think Mike Dana could be that player if he goes out and balls out this upcoming season.
I think if they don't add anyone, like if Dunlap doesn't come back, if they don't bring another veteran pass rusher, if they don't bring, I know Leonard Floyd's off the table, but let's say a Leonard Floyd type, if they don't make a move between now and camp, I think that's the sign that they believe in Mike Dana. Because Mike Dana, even at best, it was a rotational guy. Like I'm not, I get your point about Karlaftis being a starter, but it's one thing to be a starter versus like a part-time starter, like kind of like what Frank Clark was. If Mike Dana is the guy they think he is, they don't bring in a Dunlap. They don't bring in a Melvin Ingram. They don't bring in one of those guys because they don't need him. They think they have him in 25-year-old Mike Dana. What you're saying about Dana, I believe, if they bring in no pass rushers. But you still think they could bring someone in, which I think is an indictment on Dana. The fact they didn't bring a guy in who started for them for 4 years and was a fat paycheck for a long time for this team, I think is an indictment in a positive way on George Karlaftis.
Coming up on the other side, we'll put a bow on this thing and we'll talk about Christian Brown, who yesterday morphed into one of the greatest role players the league has ever seen. That's coming up. Keep right here. It's The Drive.
You're listening to The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
You're telling me right now that you can be a 41-year-old man with three kids, good, well-paying job, and you can eat corn dogs? No.
Brought to you by the Deepest Wally Moore Law Firm. Remember, Mike's got this on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Sponsored by Dell Technologies.
You're listening to The Drive. Now CDOT's got one extra point.
Yo, it seems like we haven't done the extra point in a long time. When was the last time we did the extra point?
That's a good question.
Like a week.
It's been a minute. We haven't had a 5:45 segment.
It's been a minute, man.
We won't tomorrow either because we're off at 5.
Yeah, no, it's been a minute, man. Christian Brown was fantastic yesterday, man. Like, I don't really have much else to say about it other than the biggest thing that I've learned from watching this NBA playoffs, and maybe some of you don't care about this, but it actually relates to Christian Brown. I think a team like Phoenix tried to put together the best starting five that they could. And their starting five is great. You had Chris Paul, Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, DeAndre Ayton. You put together a great starting five. That is not enough in today's NBA. It's not enough. There is so much talent, so much athleticism, so much shooting in the NBA that if you're not 8 or 9 deep, you do not have a chance to win a championship. Denver is going to win a championship because on a night in which Michael Porter Jr., who I think is their third best player, gave you nothing. Like, Michael Porter has not played well in this NBA Finals. He just is not knocking down open jump shots on a night in which you get nothing from a starter. So you got to take him off the floor. You were able to put in a guy like Christian Brown, who has played in high-pressure basketball situations and has come out on top every single time. Whether it was winning state three consecutive years in high school, whether it was going to a Final Four and winning a national championship, sure, this is a higher level, this is greater competition, but these moments we know Christian Brown doesn't run away from. You start to notice when you watch playoff sports, I don't care what it is, baseball, basketball, football, you start to see who really appreciates that moment and who doesn't. You start to really find out who's about it and who ain't. And a lot of our favorite athletes are really cool on a noon game, a noon Sunday game. Oh, you can go out there. You can throw for 300 yards. Oh, you're phenomenal. That ain't where you're making the millions of dollars. You're making the millions of dollars. It's January. It's 17 degrees outside, and it is cold. You can't feel your hands. You can't think. Your offensive line is terrible, getting beat up the whole day. It's 3rd and 8, and that wind is howling, and you got to make a play. And we start to see who has the ability and who doesn't. The NBA playoffs, the Major League Baseball playoffs are no different. We could tell you that A-Rod was weak the entire time by how he kept playing in the postseason. Christian Brown has shown you in these moments, you can depend on me. I'm going to knock down shots. I'm going to play defense. I'm going to give you high energy, and that's exactly what he did yesterday. If you were watching that game, it was close for about three quarters. The difference in the game was Christian Brown. It was back and forth. You hit a shot, they hit a shot. You get a big play, they get a big play. What created the separation for Denver and allowed them to win by 15 was Christian Brown yesterday. So hats off to him. He's not the biggest reason they won. They have the best player in the world on their team. Murray is playing at an incredible level. But the reason they blew Miami out yesterday was Christian Brown. And he was that much of a difference last night, Rob.
In the player describing to Cross Sport Compare, Frank Clark, to combine all our conversations today, to find out the guy who's really about it in the postseason, it's your noon Sunday November game. Frank Clark doesn't care. It is January football. He cares. Isn't he like 5th or something outlandish all time in playoff sacks? Everything you said for Christian Brown, if I were to cut it and change it and dub it over so you said Frank Clark, doesn't that apply to him as well to combine both conversations today? He's that guy. He's about it in the postseason.
No, he is. I can't deny that. And I thought he was great yesterday. I thought he was phenomenal yesterday. I can't lie.
Did your social media, we always talk about how your Twitter, my Twitter sometimes differ. Like, my Twitter's just now finding out about Kellis and Bill Murray. We're just finding out. We're 45 minutes behind.
I just found out too. So no, we're on the same page. That just came out of nowhere.
But was your social media the same way mine was?
Yeah,
KU fans were puffing their chest out, having their moment.
KU people KU people were very excited yesterday. And you should be. You should be excited. I saw someone say that Christian Brown is the greatest basketball player born in the state of Kansas. Not from KU. That obviously is Will Chamberlain. But I'm talking born in the state of Kansas, that it's Christian Brown. All-time high school player, great college player, is two games away from getting an NBA championship. And if Christian Brown can keep doing what he did yesterday, I'm not saying you got to score 15 tonight, but if you can just keep being a guy that they can rely on and depend on, you can be in the league for a long time. It's not like Nick Collison was a great NBA player. He was a guy that, I can give you 11 points. I can give you 6 rebounds. Everybody likes being around me. I'm never going to cause you any problems. Man, there is a lot of money to be made in doing what you're supposed to do. You know, a lot of money to be made. And that is what Nick Collison made a career out of. Was not the greatest player in the world. Man, you know what? I'm going to keep my head down. I'm going to play my 20 minutes. I ain't going to complain about nothing. I'm going to get these points. I'm going to get you a couple rebounds, and I'm going to mind my business. And Nick Collison made a lot of money in his NBA career doing that. How much money do you think Nick Collison made his NBA career?
Ooh, God, he was drafted in like 04, and he retired. Like, he was on one of, I think he was on that Thunder team that went to the finals in like 13 or 14. Oh, man.
I got it pulled up here. How much? So Nick Collison, I'll give you the exact number. Nick Collison played 15 years in the NBA. How much money do you think Nick Collison made?
$38 million.
$59.6 million.
Good life.
Think about that. Nick Collison made $60 million in his NBA career. Rob, he never averaged 10 points a game. Never. His career average is 5.6 points and 4.6 rebounds. He made $60 million in the league to do that. Being a guy that people like being around and doing your job, not causing any problems, you can make a lot of money in the NBA doing that if you can catch. I think Christian Brown is going to be in the league for a while. I think he's going to have more nights like he did last night in Game 3 of the NBA Finals. I had a lot of fun today. We'll be back again tomorrow. Take care of yourself. It's The Drive.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.